ever perform a officiate in a wedding that somebody does not do premarital counseling for. It just doesn't happen. And I've denied many people from doing that because it is a covenant, not just a piece of paper you get from the Bibb County Courthouse or wherever the county that you're getting married in a civil union. It is a union between you, your spouse, and God. And it is a covenant that should not be broken, because when you break that, then you have just broken a covenant with God. Go back to Old Testament times and see how those people fared when they were breaking covenants with God. They did not fare very well. But when you read on now, Jesus says this, man and woman, let no man separate. That's a lifetime commitment. You got that? Pretty easy. I don't know. I mean, anybody can get anything else than that? Let me know, please. Okay, silence is deafening. Moving on here. When Jesus began to listen to the Pharisees in verse 7, they said, then why? Why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? And they thought they had Jesus right here. But wait a minute now. You're saying let no man separate. You're saying it's between a man and a woman. But Moses allowed divorces to happen, and that you could give a certificate of divorce and get divorced and go on your way. And I think the next couple of verses is very prevalent, because Jesus laid the smack down on them, if you want to do it in that kind of terminology. Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for a matter of unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery. And see, what he was doing was, here Moses come out with this law that was for these people at this time, and it wasn't the way that God always intended things to be. It wasn't the way that God wanted things to happen. And mankind, we change stuff all the time. Doesn't mean that that's what God wanted. Maybe in your Sunday school class y'all talked a little bit about that. It was Earl called me last night, and he was talking about the birthright with Ishmael and Isaac. And you can try to circumvent God all day long, and it'll work for you on this earth. You don't have to follow Christ and to be wealthy, to be able to have a lot of money and nice cars and all of those things. You can live a great life worldly. You can have a great relationship worldly. Is it a marriage? Some people that have a piece of paper from the courthouse that says that you're married, you are not married. Not in the way that God intended for there to be, because where is God at in this? If God is not in the picture, then there is no marriage. There is no covenant that is there. All you did is two people went together and signed a contract one to another. And that's not a marriage. That is a civil union that is recognized by the state of Georgia. But when you look down here and you see that the only way that you're supposed to get a divorce, according to the word, and Jesus said this now, except for marital unfaithfulness, you shouldn't be getting a divorce. Pretty clear. That's it. And if you do, and you marry somebody else, and you just committed adultery, and you've broken the seventh commandment. Now, you sit back and go, well, I know a lot of people that got a divorce. See, in the Bible, there is no such thing as an at-no-fault divorce. There's no such thing as that. You can't just go run down there and say, you know, we're not going to contest this, just going to have a mutual separation and get a divorce, and that's cool. No, that's not right. In God's eyes, you are still married to that person unless you met the biblical qualification of a divorce. And this is the Bible, and you may not like it. And I may not like it. And you may be sitting here today in a divorce. But when you're looking at it, I realize that I'm a sinner. And y'all sang a beautiful song, Sinner Saved by Grace. No doubt about it. And the things that I've done in my life that are wrong, I'm certainly not going to teach my son to do those things just because I did it. I'm going to teach my son the right way. And we've made many mistakes in our own lives. But when we are looking at it and you're asking somebody or you're counseling somebody about something, and let's say that somebody comes to you and they're talking about divorce. Do you counsel them in the worldly way, or do you counsel them in the biblical way? And as a pastor, I want to tell you something. It happens all the time. People come up all the time, and they may be wanting to go through a divorce. What am I to say? Oh, that's okay. A bunch of people that ain't got a divorce. You go ahead and do that. Or do I go by the Bible? What do you do? One day I'm going to stand and be judged by the counsel that I gave to those people. And I think I'll be pretty good if I stay with this and stay with the scripture right here and look at what God has said about it. But I want to answer a question, though, because, see, you know why we go through most of divorces in the world? Because you don't start out right. That's exactly the reason why most of these divorces happen, because you have some minister who would not spend enough time to sit there and counsel the people and say, it is not time for you to be married. And I put the fault on the people that officiated, because I have prolonged some people from getting married because they had to go find somebody else to be able to do it because I said no. And you have folks that are running, they're not spending the time that they need to get to know the people. You had a year-long, at least, betrothal period in the Old Testament times. And that was a legal contract in and of itself. And today we just go, right, oh, I've known this person 3 weeks. This time we're going to get married. And then you find out, oh, this person's crazy. This time to get out of here. Well, you should have figured that out before. And so don't be shocked. And you can look at every divorce, and you can usually see 9 out of every 10 times something could have been fixed before they entered into the covenant agreement. Something could have been talked about. You could have seen the wave that was coming. But we get all involved, and emotions are going on, and hormones are raging, and we've got to just marry this person. And I'm telling you, we've got to slow down, folks, because Brooke and myself have been married 4 years, been together 10 years, and that is a long time in today's world for people our age. You make it 2 or 3 months, and you've gone longer than some people. And that's sad. But what is more sad is in the church, for the reason of the next point. And I'm going to try to make this, condense this to the main stuff. Marriage provides a picture of Christ in the church. And this is why it saddens me so much when we see how we have allowed the marriage covenant that God has given us to be just so defiled, even inside of the church and even in the lives of Christian people. And if you look at Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." When you look at this, marriage provides this beautiful picture of Christ and the church. And before we get into any of this piece of it, can you look at the modern marriage and what that picture is displaying and say that the modern marriage shows you Christ and the church? I hope not. I seriously hope that the modern marriage is not right now displaying what God had intended it to be, because that is not something that I thought that the church and Christ were sharing. Because in the modern marriage, that we're told that husbands and wives are interchangeable. That you can do either one, it doesn't matter. That, you know, the woman is the same as the man and the man is the same as the woman. The lie out there about equality in the sense that the world is trying to say it has always been a lie. God never says at any time that we're all created equal. He never said that. Now, I'm not saying that we're all different values and the feminists, you know, rising up in here. I'm not saying that. We're not created equal. I have gifts that you don't have. You have gifts that I don't have. I'm taller than you. I'm fatter than you. I'm all of these different things than anybody else. We are not created equal. God created us all. If you read the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, and we are all created to work together, every ligament supporting each other. And if we were all created equal, then we're all a bunch of hands. Right-handed people running around here in the world, and there's no feet, there's no mouths, there's no head, there's none of those things. So we're not created equal. You may be an arm. Somebody else may be a leg. Somebody else may be the left arm and the left, and you work together. And God created the marriage to be that way. Husbands and wives are not equal. They are not the same. They don't have the same function and the same role. They are called to have different functions and different roles. And yes, the Bible says that the man is the head of the household. Yes, it says that wives should submit to their husbands. And Paul is talking to the church right here, and he gives three verses right there about that. And the world says, no, you can't do that. No, we do not need to listen to what all the past 100 years has told us about this verse and say that, no, that means that you're a dictator. That does not mean that you're a dictator. It doesn't even mean you can tell her what to do. That is not what it means. But answer me one question. Do you know anything that you can think of, anything inside the church and outside the church, that there doesn't have to be a head person? Anything? Police force? Banks? Appraisal firms? Doctor's offices? Governments? Any place that doesn't have a head, a leader? Anything at all? I don't think you can think of one thing. Where there's a vacuum of leadership, somebody's going to get in there, I can tell you. It's just the way we work. And so, yes, God set up the man to be the one that the weight and responsibility of that home falls on the man's shoulders. And I'm going to tell you, if you want that, ladies, you can have it all day long. Okay? Because if you read verse 25, and this is why it's so crazy to me, if we're going to have a God-centered worldview, and we're going to teach... Is this my phone ringing? In the middle of the service? Tom Murray, he ought to be in church, shouldn't he? That was too funny. but if we're going to look at this, and how, when verse 25 is here, folks, somebody please explain to me, and I know that I'm not altogether that smart, but please explain to me how men ever thought that this verse of Scripture meant that we could put our thumb on women. Because when you read verse 25, and it doesn't hit you, if she'll put it on the screen for me, and it doesn't hit you right between the head right here, I don't know what will. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Man, I want you to think about something right now, how Christ loved the church. If you had men in homes, myself included, my wife is up there, I don't want her to be shouting amen from the thing up there while I'm saying stuff, but if I loved my wife every single day of every single hour like Christ loved the church, we wouldn't ever have any issues. You wouldn't have any issues. You wouldn't have any divorce if you were loving your wife as Christ loved the church. You wouldn't have any divorce if the wife on the other side was being willing to be led by somebody who was doing that. And I think, ladies, any of you would be willing to follow somebody and to be under somebody's headship that was loving you like Christ loved the church. I don't think anybody argues with that. Now, you want to be led by somebody who's dictatorial and drags you, you know, by the hair of your head everywhere that you want to go, and there's no leading, there's hurting going on. Yeah, you're probably not going to submit to that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, God created this order within the home, and he was telling Paul right here in Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5 and going through here, he talked about children. He talked about slaves and their masters. He's talked about the marriage relationship, and he's trying to tell us that this is the way that you set up a home. This is the way that it works. These men, this is what you do. Ladies, this is what you do. Children, this is what you do. Back in those days, there were slaves and there were masters and all that. And this is how that kind of stuff worked out. And this is the way you set that up. Why? Why did God give such specific instructions for the household? Because the households and the homes are the building blocks of society. If you want to look at society today and see how broken we are as a state and a city and a country, then it is a direct reflection of our home situation. And folks, I'm telling you, it starts with me and it starts with you right here. When your kid comes up to you and they said, I was born gay, I want to bring this out to you. That is very much possible. Silence is deafening when I said that. It's very much possible to be born gay. I may be born with a predisposition to murder somebody. I may be born with a predisposition to lie. You see a lot of people, they born, they just lie, 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 lie. It doesn't even matter if I was born that way. Because saying, if you're going to get to God and say, I was born this way, does that give you an excuse to sin? I was born a murderer. I was born this. I'm not saying that people are born gay. I don't believe that you are necessarily born that way, but we are all born sinners, though. And you may have a predisposition to lean towards that way, but it's not going to stop you at your judgment day of getting something in your wood, hay, stubble, and ash pile. I can guarantee you that. It may even prevent you from getting to heaven in the first place. And so when your children are there and we're talking to family, you're talking to friends, and we as Christian people are trying to make headways out here, we're trying to send money to a missionary in Uganda. We're trying to teach people within our churches, but we don't talk about and put a hard line on what is actually the truth about controversial situations. Nobody wants to talk about that. We want to talk about the love of Jesus, and we want to talk about all of these things, but when it comes to rebuke, we want to back away. And the world has suffered because of that. Our homes, our children's, our families are suffering because of that. When you look at the society today and you're telling me about your children, when I was a youth pastor, the one thing I hated was for people to come to me and say, oh, this terrible generation of teenagers, who raised them is my next question to you. Who raised them? Who raised right now the generation, my generation, those of you that are in your 40s and 50s? So that's your fault. Not every single situation. You can raise a kid to be just perfect and they turn out bad. Or you can raise a kid to not be perfect like my parents did and I turned out real well. Okay? So I digress on that right there, okay? But you know that I understand that your children are not always going to do that. But overall, stereotypically, when you look at all of society, you can't blame it on the kids. You can look at the parenting of them. You can look at the brokenness of homes. How many people in here come from a divorced home? Okay. You can look around in the church and say, I'm not going to ask the other question because hands would be everywhere. But my parents divorced when I was 6 years old. Very detrimental to me in my life. And if my son... When he's coming up, don't you think that I'm going to go out of my way to teach him the biblical way to set up his home? And I'm going to try my best. And buddy, this scares me to death to know that he's looking at me for an example to follow. That's tough. It is very tough. But people, we do not need to shy away from this stuff. We have got people all throughout this church that have been battling with relationship problems. That's why I meant that we were going to talk about this morning. God has it. He has it for a reason. There are people all across this sanctuary that have relationship problems, whether it's a relationship with a spouse, a relationship with husband, you know, wife deals there, or relationships within your family with somebody else. There's relationship issues that everybody's going through. There's a lot of marital things that are going on. Maybe there's a couple in here that come to church and they're trying to act like everything is great, but it's not so much. Work on it. I've been married just 4 years, and buddy, it takes everything you can to just make it work. Marriage is tough. But do you think I'm going to stand before God knowing that God joined me together with my wife, and I'm going to just let that all go and let 10 years of history, you know, go to the wayside and stand before God one day and say, hey, we just don't want to be together anymore? Nothing that is worth doing is easy. It is hard. And when you look at the Bible and I look at where the marriage relationship is in the world, I think Christ would be sad. I think he is sad when he looks and says, I gave this to you to be a perfect mirror image of my relationship with you. And that's not what I envisioned, is what he's saying. How much did Christ have to work for that relationship to be saved? He gave his entire life. His entire life to keep the relationship between the church and between himself together, because we were just going our own way. And he had to give every bit of it, every bit of his life's blood to save it. And I want to ask you today, do you have that in you for your relationships? Are you going to teach that to your children to fight? Are you going to counsel your children when they're going through tough times in their marriages to fight for it? Again, I get it. Humanly, there are some times for divorce. I'm not saying that. There's been people I've had to say, you know what? That mule is going this way. You're never going to get them back, and I don't know what you do. You can't stay in an abusive relationship. All of those types of things that are out there, I got it. Okay? But what I'm saying is, too easy today we divorce people, and too easy today we abort children. So we've got to get down to this as a society, and it starts with the church. It starts with those of us that know better. And we've got to be examples to this world. Are we being a good example? Am I? Are you? And I think it's very important, y'all, because we're never going to reach this world. We're never going to change the times. You can come on up, Darley. We're never going to make any headway with this world until we change the family. It's just not going to happen. And God has given us everything we need, and we just got to do it. And we've got to be out here and say, God, we want you to be glorified through this, and counsel your children and grandchildren before they go to try to run and get married and say, please meet with somebody and talk about it. Please do premarital counseling. It doesn't save every marriage. No way, no how. And there's been people in here that's been married 6 years, never had an ounce of it. But I'm telling you today, it is just something that God has impressed upon me to say, nope. If you're not willing to talk for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, and you don't have that kind of time, you certainly don't have enough time to be married. And that's just the way it is. Folks, this is extremely important to get the home together. If we can get people to do that, you will see a change in our society, but not a minute before that. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time, Lord, that we've come to be in your house. Father, I thank you immensely, Lord, for Dayspring Trio bringing that message, Father God, in song, Lord. So many people, Lord, were touched by those songs, Father God. So many people have come down to this altar. Lord, some have come down to this altar to confess their sins, Father God, to you, Lord, to turn their lives around, Father, to talk about, Lord, just to you, between you and them, Father, just immense struggles that are going on in their lives. And Father, the relationships that we build on this earth and our marriages, Father, are supposed to be a reflection of the type of relationship that you have with us. And Father, I ask that you help me, Father, you'll help every single person here to get that in right alignment with you. And that, Father, that one day that we'll know, Father God, what true love is when we really get to sit there and bask in your presence, Father God, and feel your glory shone down upon us. Because we don't really get it right now, Father, when we say that agape love that you have for us. That when we quote John 3:16, for you loved us so much that you died for us. But you did that to keep our relationship with you intact. And Father, help us to be able to do that in our relationships and our marriages. It's so important to have the home to be together, to have the home biblically correct, Father God, and not worldly. Help us use the word, Father God, the scriptures that were read today, Father God, as our standards for our homes. And when those people are trying to tell us that we are haters because we are not going to accept the world's definition of marriage, between men and men and women, we need to stand on your word. Because God, you are the one that ordained marriage. You are the one that defined it. And nobody is allowed to change it because your word is true. Help us, Lord, as we leave this place today to go out and be your hands and be your feet. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.